The poet suggests this abbess would wake before the roosters crowed, though she did hear them cock-a-doodle as she set down the music she heard in her waking dreams, her visions. So awake to this impulse to compose, she beat even the matin's bell in her rising. The poet recalls for us as well this nun's true awakening, the flame-filled vision that opened the doors of her being for the creating she would come to do in the name of the living light, composing music, capturing images, writing volumes and volumes in many fields. You see, she had been on her sickbed, resisting the urge to express what was in her heart and soul, what she'd seen, what she'd heard. But now she heard a booming voice say, "Cry out and write this." And she said, "Receiving the strength to lift myself out of my illness, I set my hand to write." That was the turning point for Hildegard von Bingen. She did write. And imagine, in the year 1141, she immortalized that moment in an illumination, a self-portrait of sorts. She had come back to life and was filled with praise. 12th-century abbess and monastery founder, mystic, prophet, composer, counselor, challenger of clergy, herbalist, physician. Now, in our day, Saint Hildegard, Doctor of the Church. And in her self-portrait, Hildegard sits with a stylus and wax tablet, recording her vision, while flooded with flames of heavenly inspiration, framed by columns, but not contained. A container of the uncontainable is what we see in that self-portrait. Visual artist Holly Trussell Brigham celebrates Hildegard's uncontainable body, soul, and spirit in a sculptural installation that is part of a series titled Sacred Sisters at the Sordoni Art Gallery at Wilkes University in Wilkes-Barre. The series is a collaboration between Holly Trussell Brigham and award-winning poet Marilyn Nelson, and features paintings of 8 different nuns from many centuries, religions, and cultures, with corresponding poems by Marilyn Nelson. We learn Holly Trussell Brigham of Philadelphia is a figurative painter who creates mythical allegories of contemporary and historical subjects. Her paintings have won awards at the Pennsylvania Academy of Fine Arts, the Lancaster Art Association, and for watercolor at the Harrisburg Art Association. Her work has been exhibited in New York, Washington, D.C., Massachusetts, and Pennsylvania. She taught painting and drawing at the Baum School of Art and has taught at the Worcester Art Museum, Worcester State College, Lebanon Valley College, Lafayette College, and Pasadena City College. Marilyn Nelson is a poet, children's author, and translator. She has won 2 Pushcart Prizes, 2 Yaddo Residencies, and fellowships from the National Endowment for the Arts and Guggenheim Foundation. In 2012, she received the Frost Medal from the Poetry Society of America. She was Connecticut's Poet Laureate from 2001 to 2006. Holly Trussell Brigham paid a visit to the WVIA studios with Heather Sienkiewicz, director of the Sordoni Art Gallery, to talk about the exhibition. We began by asking Heather about the invitation she gave to Holly to show her work here in northeastern Pennsylvania.
One thing about being a part of Wilkes University is that I'm always thinking about ways that we can have art connect across curriculums. And I came across Holly's work in a way that was an interesting connection with our English department. I've known Holly for a while. We used to teach together way back when.
At the Baum School of Art in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And knowing that Holly did this series of paintings, the Sacred Sister series, but also how that transformed into an artist book was extraordinary. And she did a collaboration with the poet Marilyn Nelson. And it just sort of seemed like a really great fit to connect the visual arts with the written. So that was really what drew me to bringing Holly to Wilkes.
Holly, what was the impulse to art or drawing or painting in your young life?
Well, there's this little story that my mother told to us as we were growing up. And she said that we all sort of had our own little dialect. I'm one of three kids. I'm the middle of three, and we're a year apart. And we didn't speak exactly clearly. And so my mother, who was an elementary school teacher, said that she kept putting crayons and things in front of us. She's like, well, if they can't speak, they can kind of speak by drawing and showing things. And so she was always doing that. And that's kind of a fun little story.
When you do that, would you do human figures?
Yes. Well, actually, I did. And so in elementary school, you know, I was kind of like the artist in the class, and fellow students would come up and they'd say, draw me, draw me. There was a little girl who didn't want me to draw her nose because she didn't like nostrils, which I thought was a very strange thing. But I would draw presidents and important people, and then the teacher would hang those drawings outside in the hallway. And I was singled out often like that. And as I went up in elementary school, I got to do bulletin boards in the hallway of the elementary school, and I got, you know, sort of more assignments and responsibilities.
Well, I love the fact that we can say that you're a graduate of one of the Seven Sisters, right?
Oh, yes. I am a Smith College graduate, very proud of it. And I think it has a lot to do with the work that I do. I was an art history major at Smith, an Italian minor. So oftentimes I will gravitate towards Italian subject matter. And yes, very, very important part of who I am, I think, as an adult woman.
So there we go with sisters and sisterhood.
Yes, that's right. And so the Sacred Sisters is actually, it's a series of paintings about nuns who were artists and writers. And there was actually a first series that was called Seven Sisters, which was myself in the guise of women artists throughout time. And then I thought, what do I do now? I finished that series. And I thought, well, I can do another series. I could call it Seven Sisters 2, and it could be a pun on the word sister, and the subject matter could be nuns, because I was always fascinated by sort of the early feminism of convents, if you will. So it was sort of an opportunity in the Middle Ages and the Renaissance, especially, where women could have the freedom to create artwork, because it was usually the male artists that you were hearing about. And so I also always had a fantasy of maybe becoming a nun and having that freedom to kind of paint from morning till night and not have the obligations of, you know, day-to-day life that we do.
Does that suggest something, though, also about the fundamental importance of art in our lives? If it's something that women were able to devote themselves to by separating themselves under the guise of a spiritual vocation, then it was very much a part of connecting heaven and earth.
Yes, well, I think so. And I think there's actually, it's very interesting, there's a recent article that a friend sent to me that was published online in Artsy. And it was talking about even one nun who was an artist, and she specifically was escaping all the suitors that her parents were sort of throwing at her and saying, you know, you need to get married, it's time for you to get married. And she entered the convent to escape that world and developed her artwork.
So in that way, it was really like a refuge. Mm-hmm. And you write about that too, don't you?
Yeah, Heather? Yeah. I think something that my students have always been surprised about is that this was a place for intellectual thought to really flourish, mm-hmm. You know. These were women that weren't fortunate enough to be educated in a traditional manner. So you could enter the convent and you could study. And I think, too, also women were making very bold choices, if you think about it as well. And when I talk about Hildegard von Bingen with my students, they're just like astonished with all she was able to accomplish just by virtue of being a nun.
She was phenomenal on many levels in terms of creativity.
Right. So Hildegard von Bingen was actually the transition figure for this series. I thought she was going to be in the first series, Seven Sisters, that I was telling you about, because I was looking for historical women artists that I felt a connection to. And so I always thought that one of the seven paintings would be of Hildegard. But as I was doing my research, I discovered that sort of modern contemporary research basically does not believe she actually painted the illuminated manuscripts anymore. It used to be, you know, 20, 25 years ago, they believed she was painting them. Now they believe she had the vision. She was telling the nuns in her convent how to paint them. And so then I thought, well, she can't be part of my first series. But then when I came up with the idea of the nuns for now what has become named Sacred Sisters, I thought she's the perfect subject matter. And I had this, if you go to the Sordoni Art Gallery to see this show, which I hope you will, I found an architectural fragment years ago when my husband and I lived in Massachusetts. And I always thought that I would use it someday. And it became the basis for the work on Hildegard. It's called Hildegard's Box. And the base is part of a fragment from a Catholic church that had a carving of a Sacred Heart on the front. And I thought this would be brilliant for Hildegard because I've not been to Bingen, Germany yet, but I hope to go one day. And they actually have two of her relics, a heart and a tongue. And so I thought, well, if a heart is one of her relics, I can use the Sacred Heart box. And so I had a carpenter help me to kind of put the box. It had to be re-glued and it needed a base. So I did a drawing to replicate the top of the box. It had no back on it. I put a back on it. And inside the box, the door remains open. And inside the box are two fabricated relics. There is a heart and a tongue, but they're made out of red wax. And they are enclosed in metal embellished bags that hang, and there's a light, and the box plays Hildegard's music because she was a composer. They're sort of like Gregorian chants, so you hear them playing as you're in the gallery, and you can walk around the box. The box has Hildegard on the front, on the top, and that's actually myself in the guise of Hildegard. And on the back of the box, there is dead Hildegard, which is basically a very decorated, nice skull. And then around the sides of the box are scenes of Hildegard's life, because she entered the convent when she was a small girl. So as you're facing the box, if you go around to the left, you will see little Hildegard entering the convent. And the model for little Hildegard is my daughter, Flora. And then on the other side of the box is an illustration of one of Hildegard's plays. And it's the play where the virtues are stealing the soul away from the devil. And so it's very, very nice. And all of the virtues are friends of mine from Philadelphia and elsewhere. And the little soul is also my daughter, Flora. So I'm actually holding her and kind of pushing her away from the devil. And then on the back of the box is a scene of the exhumation of Hildegard's remains in the 19th century. They decided to build in Bingen, Germany. They wanted to build a new cathedral and dedicate it to Hildegard. And they needed to exhume her remains. And they wanted to make sure that they were actually Hildegard's remains and move them to the new site. So I'm showing that scene. And my husband is the German priest in that scene. And my children also appear as townspeople. There's a lot there. And it's kind of a sculptural installation painting piece, whereas the other nuns are life-size figures in watercolor, and they each have a relic that goes with them that I created.
The box itself could mean many things, and it could be like the tabernacle on the altar or the reliquary as the container for the relics.
Exactly. It has so many levels of meaning. And I think it was just really was very, very appropriate. And I wanted to say that she was the connecting force for me meeting Marilyn Nelson and leading into the collaboration for the artist book. So I knew I was doing the series of nuns. I had painted Plautilla Nelly and I had painted Santa Caterina, and I was in the process of working on Hildegard's box. And Marilyn Nelson is a fabulous poet, and we had invited her to my daughter's school as a visiting poet, and I was the parent liaison for the day. And I had probably about 15 minutes in a faculty lounge with Marilyn. I was making sure she had coffee and was being taken care of, and she said, "Holly, you know, tell me what you do and what sort of makes you tick." And I said, "Well, I'm a painter and I'm working on a series of nuns." And she's like, "Fascinating. Tell me." And I started, and as soon as I said Hildegard, she was like, "Oh my gosh, I love Hildegard of Bingen. I have been to Bingen. I have always wanted to do something with her. I have never done it. she said, "Oh my gosh, what would you think about collaborating?" And I got goosebumps and I thought, Marilyn Nelson wants to collaborate with me. This is so incredible. And I said, "Are you kidding? I would love it." You know, so we gabbed and gabbed. And then, of course, she had to go to another class. And then, you know, at the end of the day, she said, "I really am serious. I really want," she's like, "but we have to think about this." Now, we were just caught up in excitement. "We need to think about this. I'm coming back to Philadelphia in a few months. I'm going to be speaking at the Children's Book Conference, and let's get together for dinner and make sure it's what we want to do." And so, of course, it was what we wanted to do, and it led to our collaboration. So the collaboration went from, you know, me doing the paintings to then, once the series was done, she wrote poems about each of the paintings. And she had asked me in that faculty lounge, "Why do you want to paint these nuns?" And I said, "Because I want to give voice to women who have not had the voice." I said, "These are actual women. People maybe have heard of Hildegard, but the other subjects they probably have not heard of. I think they deserve to have a portrait. They deserve to have people know about them." And she said, "I could write a poem and give them more voice. I could write the poem in their own voice, like they're speaking." And that was one of those, was just incredible. And so we did that. And then after the series was done, we had two exhibitions. One was at the Benton Museum at the University of Connecticut in Storrs. And we had a really nice salon evening where Marilyn and I talked about the collaboration, and she read poetry, and it was really, really wonderful. And I had been trying to document our collaboration because I said, you know, this is a really wonderful thing. We've done the paintings and the poems. It was too little for us to use her press in New York City. You know, they wouldn't be interested in it. We thought about possibly a religious journal maybe that does poetry, you know, to somehow do it. And then all of a sudden I said, "I think I have it. We're going to do an artist book." Had never done an artist book, but I knew of Marianne Miller, who is a fabulous book artist. She's also a poet, and she has Lucia Press in Canton, New Jersey. And I had met her at the Experimental Printmaking Institute at Lafayette College, where I had done a print years before. So I got in touch with her. I told her about it, and she said, "Yes, I would love to work on this with you." So then we bounced ideas off. We worked back and forth. We came up with a design that we really liked, and we went forward, and we published it, and we did an edition of 12. And we have one copy left. So we were lucky enough to place it. Smith College bought one. The Smithsonian Institution, Lafayette College bought one for their library, Penn State, and a private collector. Anyway, it was a big success. And it started me thinking and loving artist books. So I recently finished my second artist book called Mother Monument, which was also done with Marianne Miller. And Marilyn Nelson wrote one of the poems for it. So I actually, on Mother Monument, just because I like to make things even more complicated, I worked with 8 poets. So there are 8 paintings, and it's the first series, 7 sisters. I added one more artist to make it 8, and I had 8 poets. And Marilyn wrote a poem to go with the artist Edmonia Lewis. And Hildegard Bingen really was, she was the one, I mean, the nun subject interested Marilyn. But as soon as I said about Hildegard of Bingen, that was something that she'd always wanted to do something with her. And it just kind of clicked.
What kinds of things come out in Marilyn's speaking on behalf?
Yes. So she went from the idea of, yes, I can give them more voice. And then she eventually came to the idea of writing the poems as prayers, which of course is brilliant and, you know, maybe obvious to some people, but it did not come that way originally. So they're prayers in the first person. So you really get the sense that the nun, the artist, is speaking. And it's really interesting because Marilyn Nelson sort of approaches her poetry in the way that I approach my painting. And so it was almost like we were meant to meet. So she does research, I do research. It's kind of, oftentimes I'll say it's like doing art history in reverse when I'm getting ready to do a painting. And so Marilyn would find a subject and that maybe was unknown, and she would do some research and she would create poetry and bring that person or those people to life. So it was sort of like a very similar vein of working. And so in her poems, in her sonnets, they basically give you the sense of the woman as a person, as an artist. They're very feminist. I'm a feminist painter. And so you get the sense of sort of the hardships of the time period that the woman may have had as an artist, the concerns of religion, the connection to God. You know, when you read them in the show, Sacred Sisters, you can see Heather has reproduced each page concerned with the particular nun, and it is right beside the painting. So you can see it. You can see the actual artist book, which is on display in a beautiful pedestal and vitrine. And it's in a radial form, the artist book is. So there's a star in the center and the pages kind of spiral out. It can be viewed in a number of different ways, but we thought that that was the aesthetically most interesting way to view it. You can walk around it, but then you can look next to the paintings. You can see a reproduction of the poem and you can read it. And I decided that because we were doing this artist book and it was on nuns, that I should also paint little initial letters for the poems. So you can see those too in the reproductions beside the paintings. So what I did was, the script that we used in the artist book is the uncial, which is kind of like the medieval script. And I painted the initial letters and put the convent where each nun lived behind. So there's like a little, you get a little bit of a building or a landscape behind the initial letter. And I paint in watercolor. So all the paintings are in watercolor. Now, Hildegard's box is a little more complicated because we have a wooden box. The painting on the box is in oil. And the paintings above Hildegard and dead Hildegard are actually in watercolor.
Award-winning artist Holly Trossel Brigham of Philadelphia and Heather Sienkiewicz, director of the Sordoni Art Gallery at Wilkes University, speaking about the exhibition Sacred Sisters, a collaboration between Brigham and Guggenheim Fellow and former Connecticut Poet Laureate Marilyn Nelson. Paintings depicting eight nuns who represent many centuries, religions, and cultures. Each nun was an artist or a writer. And while Brigham imagines the nuns in the midst of their creative work, Nelson gives voice to each nun, as we just heard, with a poem phrased as a prayer. Included in the exhibition is the artist book that Holly Trossel Brigham collaborated with artist Marianne Miller to create. It is an edition of 12, with one version housed at the Smithsonian Institution Artist Book Collection. The Sordoni Art Gallery at Wilkes University presents Sacred Sisters through March 1st, and concurrently, Peasant War, a series of etchings by Kete Kollwitz with accompanying poems by J.C. Todd, an award-winning poet from Philadelphia. For more information on the web, wilkes.edu/Sordoni Art Gallery, and Sordoni is spelled Sordoni, wilkes.edu/Sordoni Art Gallery, and the address is 141 South Main Street in downtown Wilkes-Barre. That's Sacred Sisters, a collaboration between visual artist Holly Trossel Brigham and award-winning poet Marilyn Nelson, and it's on exhibit to March 1st at the Sordoni Art Gallery, 141 South Main Street in Wilkes-Barre, on the campus of Wilkes University. For more information, on the web, wilkes.edu, wilkes.edu.